This program is brought to you by Chefs Collaborative, a nonprofit with a mission to inspire, educate, and celebrate chefs and food professionals building a better food system. Change menus, change lives. Learn more at chefscollaborative.org.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Hey, this is Cynthia Cherish Malloran, Reverend and DJ. Cherish the love, and you're listening to Wedding Cake on Heritage Radio Network. Before I forget, let me tell you how to reach out to me and get my attention on social media, Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, at DJ Cherish the love, and that's love spelled L-U-V, and hashtag using Wedding Cake, all one word, Heritage underscore radio, and hashtag RevLove. So welcome to the second episode ever of the first season of Wedding Cake, a sweet revenge on my own wedding years ago, where I actually didn't have wedding cake because I eloped in Vegas. So, well, that marriage didn't work out, but I still love weddings. I love DJing them. I love writing the ceremonies and officiating them. I even love coordinating the surprise marriage proposals around New York City. So reach out to me if you are planning on popping the question and we can make it epic. And the best part, every week, we will eat wedding cake on air. And because I'm not bitter, I love love, I decided I should have my cake every week and eat it too. So actually the cake I made this morning came out really badly.
Great.
So what I'm going to do is start getting professionals to come in. We had Paris Baguette last week. I attempted it on my own. Not a good idea. So anyway, speaking of DJing, I, DJ Cherish the Love, am Whole Foods New York City's official DJ. So come hang and eat and listen to my select tunes every first Tuesday of every month, 6 to 8 p.m., Bryant Park, New York City. And I just DJed for Chic, Nile Rodgers, Tribe Called Quest, LL Cool J. A couple of days ago, I shared the stage with Elvis Costello, which was pretty incredible and epic at the not White House Correspondents' Dinner in D.C. I'm still kind of, you know, pinch me. I don't really believe that happened. To anyone who was there and in the crowd and dancing and wiggling your asses off, thank you, thank you, thank you. I hope you caught all of my hidden love messages that I snuck into my set that I always do. So you might remember me and my voice from my previous show on Heritage Radio Network, Primary Food. It hasn't gone away. It still very much lives. So search for it on iTunes and Stitcher because there are many, many gems about life and creativity and healing. And I will be back on the Primary Food. But since it is wedding season, I figured we should all have cake. So this show, Wedding Cake, is produced by Heritage Radio Network, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station devoted to all things food. Help keep Heritage Radio Network alive by becoming a member today. Go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the beating heart to donate. Again, that's heritageradionetwork.org. And if you do it, I'll love you forever. I might even marry you. So today's guests are my fake fiancé, who got stuck in traffic. So, well, about my fake fiancé. So every episode I'm going to have a fake fiancé or fiancé, because yes, on air I will swing both ways. Like I said, mine got stuck in traffic, and guests to the right of me, you know what that's like, right?
Amen.
So I think I'm going to ditch him and have a new one next week, of course, because, you know, maybe this is what cold feet is like. So moving on, we're also going to have special guests coming on through the season. Helplessly, hopelessly, perpetually single guests who have lots to say about the whole marriage thing. Just to balance all the sweet stuff. And we're also going to have some pop-in guest-zillas. Yeah, I looked at the schedule. It's going to be really funny. So next to me, award-winning portrait photographer, Veronica L. Jankowski of Vera Luce. Right? Am I saying
perfect,
that?
Perfect.
Vera Luce Photography. Get to know that name. She joins me and the Wedding Cake in the studio today to talk about what does it take to hire a wedding photographer? How do you find one you trust? And because, you know, you only get one shot at doing it right. You see what I did there?
Yep.
Veronica, hi. thanks for being here.
Good morning.
She survived the traffic. She made it through.
Oh, my goodness. 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No.
Coming into Bushwick from?
Jersey.
Oh, gosh.
Gotta love it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You're better than my fake fiance. Vera Luce. What does your company name mean? I love that.
Thank you.
It feels Italian or something.
It is. It is. So I have a little bit of Italian heritage in me. See what I did there? But Vera Luce means truth and light.
Oh.
So it's Latin or Italian. So Vera was a play on my name, Veronica, for truth, and Luce is light.
I love that.
There you go.
That's a really great photographer vibey name, because it's all about light.
And, correct.
Right? You know? So you are located, you said, in Jersey.
I am.
But you will travel for a gig.
I travel all over the country and all over the world.
Is that what they're called? Gigs?
Gigs. Yeah, I go with that.
Because I'm in music, so I call them gigs. So I forget about photography. So help my listeners, my brides and grooms. Give us tips on, you know, where do you even begin? How do you hire a wedding photographer you can trust? Because there's so many, and, you know, what are all the aspects that go into it? And what do you offer that other photographers might not?
Sure. Well, it's not an easy process as you might imagine. So what happens when you first get engaged, right? You probably create a not account and you start looking at Pinterest and all kinds of blogs and websites and doing what all of your friends say to do to start looking at vendors and creating this magical day that you've dreamed of forever, right? So I think just in the New Jersey region alone, there's over 50,000 photographers.
50,000.
At least.
Just the New Jersey region.
Just New Jersey.
Just,
that was several years ago.
You're not talking tri-state.
No, I didn't even get New York yet. So,
oh my gosh.
There's tons of us. So how do you find that one gem that you mesh with out of thousands and thousands and thousands, right?
Wow.
Think of how overwhelming that can be.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
So the first recommendation I would have is to find somebody whose style you jive with. So you have to like the style that the photographer presents and make sure that it's actually the photographer you're hiring that shot that.
Let's talk about style for a second.
Sure.
Not to take you off track, but just so that people are clear on what is style that they're picking up? Like, is that the lighting?
It's a little bit of everything. So when you start looking through a photographer's portfolio, you're going to notice a couple of things. How they're photographing their couples. So are the couples well lit? Are the photographs dark and moody? Are they bright and airy? Are they a mix of both? How does the photographer post-process, which is a term we use for editing and color correcting? It's kind of like our special sauce on our pictures.
Okay.
So usually if you go to a photographer's website, those images that you're seeing on a website and blog are post-processed. So you have to like how that end product looks.
Okay.
Because that's going to be what you can expect. So yeah, so it's not like the old film days where we would take a picture, you would develop it, and there you go.
Uh-huh.
We take a long time to go one by one and edit and make each photo basically a work of art.
So it's the difference between basic portraits and really dreamy, gorgeous, artful. Oh, I love it. That's what it is. Okay, so start with the style. Okay.
So you start with the style. You see, is the photographer capturing more moments, kind of being like a stalker behind the scenes? Are they getting great in different angles? Are you seeing the difference in some images are taken close up? Are there detail shots? Are images taken more far away or epic shots that are showing the location? So you want to see a variety, and you might not be able to put your finger on it, but you'll know what you're attracted to.
Okay. Because you'll see that the photographer tells a story.
Correct.
The magic of that day, the just the whole fuzzy goodness.
Absolutely.
Okay. So style.
So you start with style, and I usually recommend that a client maybe narrow it down to 3 photographers. You do not want to interview.
How do you even get
10
to
and 20? You know, a lot of people look at the reviews. So you're going to look at reviews. You're going to look, do your homework, Google them, see what their testimonials are, see what people are saying about them. Do your homework beforehand. So know a little bit about the person, because the photographer is the only person with that bride all day long from start to finish. So you really have to have trust and a connection to that person. So you may love what your florist does, but you don't have to actually physically interact with them. But I have a very personal relationship with my clients and with my bride. So she needs to trust me all day for 10 hours.
Oh, wow. Of course.
So that connection between us is essential for it to be a successful day.
How many hours is a typical shoot with you?
A normal wedding is 8 to 10 hours.
Okay. And do you shoot anything outside of the wedding before? And you do boudoir.
I do boudoir, yes.
You do boudoir. Oh, okay, we'll get into that. That's a whole other thing that just popped into my head that I remembered. But since I'm here representing the brides and grooms, one of the hardest parts for us is approaching about pricing. What is the most comfortable way for you to be approached about your pricing so that I can be comfortable asking you?
Yep. So because
I always have a budget.
Yes. And everybody has a budget. I don't think that there's anybody who's going to come up to you and say, I want everything, the best. I don't care what it costs. That's not going to happen. So I know on my website, I have a starting price. So that way folks can get an idea of where my prices are going to begin.
Okay.
And you'll know right away, can I afford even that or not? Move on. Or yes, I like what I see. So at least I'm in the process of weeding out people who just aren't a good fit for me. And then upon talking to me, you'll kind of get an idea based on what you're telling me you need, because I don't have packages like A package, B package, C package, D package. Mm-hmm. My whole day is customized to what the client needs. I'm not going to try to sell you on something you don't want. I want to make sure my primary goal is that you get the great photographs.
Right.
For me, the product is secondary.
Right.
You want great pictures. You want to trust your photographer. So just get me there. My famous question is there a specific budget I need to be respectful of?
Oh, see,
I stole that from somebody, by the way, but I loved it and fell in love with it. So now it's mine.
I love your customer service style.
People, you know, they have an idea of what they want to spend. Mm-hmm. Somewhere. And some people really have no clue. They haven't had a, they don't even know what things cost.
Okay.
You know, they're just literally clueless. I've never done this before. I don't know. I think you could shoot my wedding for $1,000, right? And I'm like, no. So they really don't know. So my job is not only to, you know, talk about what I offer, but also educate people. So they know, even if they're not going to hire me, they know what the majority of professional photographers are going to work. Uh-huh. And give them an education. So when they make the right decision, they're making it with knowledge.
You know, I'm not just a pretend bride or groom. I'm also a wedding vendor, because my spirit animal is clearly an octopus. I used to think it was a hummingbird, but maybe it's both. It's a hummingbird octopus. So I am also a vendor, and I do officiate weddings and so on. And I always found that it was very, very interesting when people would approach me about pricing. They'd almost be scared.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, don't be scared. Just talk to me and let's work something out. I like what you said about weeding out people from the start. I found that very hard when I tried to become a wedding photographer. So props to you. I actually thought it was just, wow. Just, I couldn't, I really couldn't handle the franticness of it.
That's a good word.
Franticness. And then the post requests for retouching.
Oh, yes.
So do you handle those?
I don't get much. So you have to see what I've done. So what I've been able to do over the past 2 decades is really define who my client is. So I've never had a bridezilla. Go me. I'm really attracting the right clientele for me. And if we're not a good fit, I will not even take your money. I don't want to work with you.
But I think there's something that we're glazing over here that I just realized, and I'm very humbled, and I'm kind of doing the praise hands of Veronica here, because she said she doesn't get that many retouching requests. That means she shoots right.
Look, most women, we're all self-conscious, and there's not a single person out here who doesn't like a certain part of their body. So every bride wants to look their absolute best on their wedding day. So you're going to get your hair done. Your makeup is going to be done. You're going to be in your dream gown. You're going to be glowing from excitement and love. So you already are looking spectacular.
Yeah.
If you have professional makeup done, my job is half over.
So
there's almost nothing much for me to retouch at the end. Usually if I do retouching, it's actually on the groom, because either he didn't shave properly or something is red on his neck. And that's actually more so than a bride. But you also have to know how to pose people and make people look their best.
And that's why you're comfortable doing boudoir.
Yes.
Can we touch on that first?
Sure,
because
whatever you want.
That is so hot.
Super fun.
So tell us, you know, people who are listening, you might want to get some sexy shots. Well, what is the purpose of boudoir photography?
I think it's a little bit different for each woman. So it started for me when I first got divorced, actually. Uh-huh. So here we go. Here's how it ties in. And if anybody's been divorced as a woman, you know, you kind of feel pretty awful about yourself and you feel kind of beaten down and you need your mojo back if you want to get out there, right?
Uh-huh.
Little mojo.
Uh-huh.
So I actually had an old friend of mine say, hey, it's my 10-year wedding anniversary. I want to take some sexy shots. Can you do that? And I was like, what do you mean? You know, I kind of want to wear some lingerie. I didn't know it was called boudoir.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know there was a label. And I was like, okay, yeah, we could do that. No problem. So I had my girlfriend half naked in the woods around her property. No joke.
Who was the half naked? You or
my girlfriend? I did that another time, but she was half naked. God bless her. So she's half naked in the woods. She's running around doing whatever I say. We've got kids on their bikes riding by. It's insane. And when it came time, you know, to get her images, I said, okay, so none of this is going on Facebook, right? And her response to me is, hey, long as we don't see anything inappropriate up top or get flagged on Facebook, post what you want.
Oh, wow.
So I did. And it took off. And all these women were like, oh, my gosh, that is the most beautiful thing. Oh, my gosh, I need that, too. Veronica, you can do that? And I was like, yeah, I guess.
Oh, wow. You have that pricing on your site, too. What is your website? Because yes. I'm sure after this combo, people are like,
I have two. So I have a boudoir specific and I have my general.
Okay.
So my general website for all of my work is verolucephotography.com.
Spell that out.
V-E-R-O-L-U-C-E photography.com. And my boudoir site is veruluceboudoir.com.
Okay. Okay. So continue on the boudoir story. Yep. This is great.
So anyway, so it takes off. And at that point, women, like I was in a bunch of women's groups on Facebook and they said, oh, you know, let me see your photographs. Have you been photographed? I'm like, oh, hells no. I take the pictures. I'm not in the pictures.
Uh-huh.
And then I kept getting asked. So it was kind of like women wanted me to have done it.
Uh-huh.
So I had to think long and hard about that and how I felt about it. So I had a friend of mine who I only knew online. I didn't know her in person. And she wasn't even a specialty boudoir photographer. And I contacted her and I said, look, I have to get these pictures done. I'm a nervous wreck. I don't know who to trust. Can you do them for me? And she's like, yeah, sure. No problem. So I go to her house. I get my hair and makeup done. And I go to her house with my vodka ready. And no joke, I did not do this.
You have champagne on your shoots, right?
I do. I have wine or champagne, whatever the client prefers. But it took me a couple shots of vodka to get out there and do it. And I was a nervous wreck. Nervous. Like when I tell you I'm a plus size girl, I am not a stick model. I'm afraid about angles and how I'm supposed to look. And remember, I was single. I was just divorced. So I was on the dating scene again. And I'll never forget, I was on a date that night and she had texted me a picture from the shoot. And he took one look at it and he ravished me. Like he couldn't get over the picture. Oh. I couldn't believe it was me. And I said right then and there, I'm like, every woman needs to see themselves like that, because I knew that picture could have been on any magazine. I was worthy of it. And it changed everything about my life.
Game changer.
Game changer. Because, you
do
know,
we need to hire you to do our Tinder photos and things.
Oh, yes,
like that?
I do. I do a lot of dating website pictures. Oh, my gosh. You'd be surprised.
People do this because, you know, do this with her, because then you'll keep our wedding business going. I really, really think this is amazing. This is
I just had a couple. They actually just met on Tinder and they got married in the fall.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I didn't even know you could meet somebody forever on Tinder. But yes, they did.
Let me tell you about Tinder. I've been through Tinder. I use Tinder for networking of all of the most random.
Oh, my gosh. What does that profile look like? I don't even know. I've never done that website. So
we'll go into that in the next episode you come on.
Okay.
Okay. So boudoir, it does things for you.
Yes.
It's magical.
It's a lot of women are doing it as a gift for their significant other, but I think almost every single client has said it was a bigger gift for themselves.
Oh, because they were going to get sexy shots for their mate, and then they were like,
and they were like, this changed me. So I love the transformation that happens when the woman walks in, scared as can be. She walks out of there like a movie star.
Oh, that's
magical. It's so
awesome
to watch. It really is awesome. And then, you know, you just changed her life, because now she knows that we don't always know we're beautiful if you're beautiful, because we don't wake up and look that way. And think about it. Every celebrity we see, they always look perfect, don't they?
Yeah.
Because, you know, it took hours to make them look that way, but we don't process that. We just say, oh my gosh, they all look so perfect and their skin is so perfect. Well, yeah, when you have professionals working on you, we all look that good.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you see that you can actually really look that good, it's mind-blowing.
And you can. So you need to hire Veronica for this and for the weddings. So weddings, you shoot the weddings, and what happens there? How else? More tips on how to hire a wedding photographer, because I'm sure people are just going to start calling you after this episode.
Oh, I hope so. So after the style, the almost more importantly is you have to like that person as a person. Because you can love somebody's work, but you can't work with them. They're just either, they're just pain, you know, pains.
Yeah, yeah.
In the butt. And that makes it very difficult. And that can really ruin your day. So they can have great work, but if they drive you nuts or if you can't just deal with their personality, your day is shot.
Okay.
So really, really important to actually like the person.
Okay. And you speak to people on the phone or in person? You meet with them before?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So normally most of my pre-consult, if you will, is over the phone or email. And then I always tell them it's imperative. We have to meet and connect because...
That's so important. There are people who hire a photographer and they just show up that day.
Yeah, no, and they haven't met them.
I don't understand.
I don't understand that. I mean, this is your legacy. This is what's passed down to your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. So you want to know who that person is you're working with, like, and trust them and know that, you know, they're going to bring your vision to life and that they're going to be there through everything. And let me tell you, our job as a photographer is not just taking the photographs. You have to understand, I've stitched veils and buttons on groom's vests.
Wow.
And I've calmed nervous mothers and I've done lots of crazy things that go beyond my job title just because of the experience. And I'm the one that's outside of that box that day. So I can calm everybody down, put it all together.
Girl, you stitch buttons on. You are the best wedding photographer and more that I know in my area. I really have never heard a photographer say, I stitch buttons.
You have to. What is the choice? You know?
Wow. Because you're concerned about the final outcome of the photo.
And I need everybody to calm down. They're freaking out over the button. I'm going, give it to me. No problem. You know.
There you go. Oh, that's fantastic. Okay, more tips.
Because,
you know, not everyone's going to be able to find someone like you, no. I don't think.
Okay, so you're also going to get what you pay for. So if you hire somebody for $1,000 to come out for 10 hours, then don't be upset when you see results that they don't look like your Pinterest photos.
Uh-huh.
So I understand that photography is not a priority for every single couple, and that is perfectly fine. Not everybody has the budget, or it's just not as important. Maybe the DJ is more important, or the food's more important, or the location is more important, and that is totally cool. But I get it all the time where I have somebody, you know, call me after the fact and say, oh my gosh, I wish I went with you. My photographer's so awful. What am I going to do now? And I don't really know how to respond to that because what am I going to do now for you?
Uh-huh. Wow. Interesting.
Like, I can't go back and refix your wedding. We could do a portrait session, I guess. Uh-huh. But the day's over.
Mm.
And it breaks my heart.
Mm.
So
I feel that. I really feel that. Because, like I said, you get one shot, right?
You get one shot to do this. And you know, there are no, you know, second takes on your wedding day.
Who do you find are more nervous about getting their pictures taken, the brides or the grooms?
Oh, the grooms. The grooms hate it.
You know, I knew you were going to say that.
Yep.
I knew you were going to say the groom. So let's talk about that because obviously, some, you know, you think maybe the brides are worried about their makeup, all this stuff.
Yep.
But the grooms.
So, grooms.
So talk about that.
Because the grooms don't really want to be photographed. They don't want to pose. They want to get to the party. So they can't. They want to spend as little time posing as possible. I mean, everybody does really. And look, the day isn't about me and the pictures I can take. The day is about the couple and their family. So my job really is to do what I have to do as quickly and as talented as I possibly can and get them to their party because that's where they need to be. Not with me for hours and hours and hours.
Oh, that's fantastic. Portrait work is not easy.
No, it's not easy. And
transformative though. I love that you said that people get transformed when they get their photos done.
It's awesome.
It's just awesome.
It's
Let's
awesome.
Talk about that.
Yeah.
I love that. Wedding portrait photography. Let's talk about that for a second because that is something I did try to do maybe about 10, 15 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
As I mentioned. And I don't think I was really connecting. I was hired, basically.
Yeah.
But I didn't connect.
No, it's about the connection.
Yeah. So talk about the connection you make with photography, you know, subjects and how they feel and some feedback you've gotten, some fun stories.
Yeah. Oh, I've had some amazing stories. So my recommendation normally is I love to do an engagement shoot with my couples. And it's important for two reasons. A, it's a great opportunity for the couple to do something totally fun and outlandish and what represents them. So if you love, like for me, I had a Harry Potter themed wedding.
Oh, that's what you mean by, okay, fun.
So I went and had my engagement portraits done at Harry Potter World in Florida. So I've had couples, you know, shoot at comic book stores and movie theaters and do fun, crazy stuff because the wedding is kind of formal.
Right.
Right. So this, you could do whatever your heart desires. And the more weird and nerdy it is, the more I'm all about it.
Wow.
I said, bring it to me if you're going to do something crazy. So the best, most craziest, most amazing experience I have had thus far was I get a call one day from an acquaintance from high school. She goes, hey, what are you doing next weekend? And this is in November. And I said, oh, I have a couple of family shoots. She goes, yeah, are they reschedulable? And I said, I guess. Why?
Uh-oh.
And she says, well, my best friend, now mind you, she's a producer out in California. Uh-huh. She goes, my best friend is a Wizard of Oz freak. And I know you are too. And she just arranged to have engagement pictures taken at an abandoned Wizard of Oz theme park in North Carolina. And she can't hire this local yokel guy. You need to be there. Can you go?
Wow.
Yeah. Hold on. Didn't even know this existed.
About it. Yes.
I didn't even know this existed. And I said, yeah, thankfully I knew the family. So I was able to push it off a few days. Next thing I know, she puts me on the phone with the bride-to-be. We have a couple of words. They hire a car service for me, book my flights. And a week later, I have a 36-hour whirlwind trip to North Carolina to hang with people I've never met before. So we get off the plane. Their plane from California landed 10 minutes before mine. They meet me at the gate. We rent a car for 3 hours, drive up the mountains of I don't even know where we're going in North Carolina. Again, we don't know each other. 3 hours in a car. It's the best immersive experience ever.
No kidding.
And they apparently got some Airbnb house in the middle of nowhere, like no Wi-Fi, no nothing. And we drove right to the location first because the owners of this property gave us the key. So we had a tour the first day. And her and I are crying because really, it's Oz.
Wow.
And she's a freak and I'm a freak. And I'm going, oh my God, I'm on the Yellow Brick Road and this is real. And so we're having this moment. And when I got there, it occurred to me, I didn't want to just photograph them there. I wanted to recreate scenes from the movie there.
Wow, fantastic.
So that's what we did.
Wow.
So I said, no, I'm changing the whole shoot. We're going to recreate these scenes. This is what we're going to do. Because once I saw it, I knew we can do it. So the next morning, we got up. The makeup artist drove in from South Carolina. We transformed her to a modern day Dorothy. We shot straight into sunset. And then I had to rush back because I had to get to the airport because I had a flight home that night. It's 36 hours. I was crashed. But the pictures to me are just incredible considering, you know, I didn't have assistance. I couldn't travel with all kinds of lighting and all the equipment I would have loved to have had. Uh-huh. I had to travel really light because it was only carry on and I made it work.
Well, I love this.
It was great. And of course, you know, we all fell in love with each other. And then they hired me. It was last year, 2015. And we did their wedding just outside of LA, which was
yes, the part two of the shoot, the wedding.
Oh, the wedding, which was.
And that must be great for the couple to be like, no, we're totally getting Veronica back. We cannot have anyone else.
Yes.
That's.
And they're producers from California. So you can imagine all of the connections they had with set designers. I mean, their wedding was at this mansion overlooking the mountains outside of LA. And when I tell you it was on 6 acres of property and probably 3 acres of it was covered with themed stuff. There was so much. It wasn't like I was photographing in a ballroom. I was photographing a vast property.
We're going to take a little music break and a little sponsor break. And we're going to talk about props.
Cool.
Because we talked about that in the last episode. I'm really curious to see what you have to say about that.
You got it.
Something I wanna say to you from my heart. I wanna tell you how I feel, 'cause it's for real. You're the most beautiful woman in my world. You're my queen. I value you, cherish you, I'ma love you, and I'ma love you more. Value you, cherish you, I'ma love you, and I'ma love you. You're the only one in my head, the sound of your voice, the look on your face.
I'm Pamela Elizabeth, founder and owner of Blossom Vegan Restaurant, Blossom Du Jour Quick Serve, Urban Vegan Kitchen, and Coco V Chocolate here in New York City. All of these venues are 100% vegan, meaning our food and sweets are free of animal products. I'm so glad to be here because this is such an incredible opportunity to connect with you all about incorporating healthy, delicious, and ethical food choices into your daily lifestyle. Congrats on getting engaged. Now let's get back to Wedding Cake with the amazing DJ Cherish the Love.
This program is brought to you by Chefs Collaborative, a national nonprofit network with a mission to inspire, educate, and celebrate chefs and food professionals building a better food system. Chefs Collaborative members work to make sustainable practices second nature for every chef in the United States. Chefs Collaborative was founded in 1993 by visionary chefs including Rick Bayless and Alice Waters, who acknowledged the influential role of food professionals on our food choices, our collective personal health, the vitality of cultures, and the integrity of the global environment. Chefs Collaborative believes that the greater culinary community can be a catalyst for positive change by expanding the market for good food and helping to preserve local farming and fishing communities. Change menus, change lives. Learn more about Chefs Collaborative at chefscollaborative.org.
Okay, so we're back with Veronica, Verolucci Photography, boudoir, weddings, and more.
And more.
And more. So I said right before the break, we're going to talk about props. So last episode, my guest, Audrey Mann Cronin, creator of the Like So speech app. It's this public speaking app. It's getting popularity. It's really fantastic. We mentioned props. So if you're giving a toast or a speech or you're an officiant, download that first episode and download this app in the iTunes store. It's called Like So. You will become way more confident with your speaking. So Veronica, props, yes or no? Do you do props in the boudoir shoots too? Or
not really.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not a proppy kind of girl.
Yeah, yeah.
I like the boudoir sessions to really be about the women. Their eyes are most important. Mm. I go very, it's either going to be very, very dominant on jewelry or almost none at all.
Uh-huh.
So okay. It either makes it or breaks it, but I don't like the in-between.
Got it.
So I have a style that I'm kind of specific on, so I don't want, you know, boas and that's not me. Not my thing.
For wedding photography, though, what's the most you'll go? Color smoke bombs?
Yes. See, how did you... Look at you doing your homework.
I've done
They're
my
favorite things ever.
Okay, let me just say, the most dynamic, fun, exciting wedding... Bridal party shots, the most exciting ones I've ever seen have been done by Veronica, and she uses these color smoke bombs. I don't even know, like, how.
Yeah, that's random. So
super random and really amazing.
And I'm not usually one for like kitschy trends or everything. And I didn't even know it was a kitschy trend. That's how out of it I was. But I was doing a portrait shoot for a hypnotist friend of mine.
Hypnotist. I love it.
Yeah. It was great. He needed really cool shots. And I wanted to use smoke. And we stupidly, although we nailed it, we were using
like
dry
fire?
Ice.
Oh, dry ice.
Dry ice. Which is not easy to work with, mind you. It is very, very, very difficult to work with. And we learned that the hard way. I mean, we made great shots, but it took us hours and manipulating the dry ice. And it was a day there was a dry ice shortage and it was a whole, it was crazy. Who knew they had such a thing in New Jersey, but it was like really warm. So I guess, I don't know how this works. So I said, geez, I should have probably just used these things I've heard spoken about in photo forums, these smoke bombs. I didn't have time to order them because they don't even come on Prime
these
on Amazon.
These are colored smoke bombs.
Yeah. So there's all
they
different
match,
colors.
You match your whole thing.
You can
whatever.
Do whatever you want. I mean, really, it's my clients were obsessed with them in the fall. And what I loved about it is every shoot with them is different because it depends on the lighting and the color and the brand and the wind. And so everything, nothing looks the same.
Wow.
And so I had this couple who didn't even see the other work. They were getting married in October, and I love them. And the groom emailed me, and he says, geez, I have a really weird request. My wife and I were Googling, and we saw these smoke bombs and these pictures, and we think we'd like to play with them. How do you feel about that?
I love
it. And I'm like, yes, I love you. So, and it was only like 3 weeks before the wedding. So I said, look, do me a favor. I go outside in a white t-shirt, men's t-shirt, and hold these things and let me know if it's A, going to stain a white shirt, tell me if they're hot to hold, because I had nothing to go on. I go, and send me some video clips. I want to see what's going to happen with
how it works. Okay.
So he did. And he knew how far away he had to be before it would stain her dress.
Oh, gosh.
He knew what it would feel like to touch
Amazing.
It. Where not to hold it so it would hurt or didn't. He said it got warm. So we kind of, and I had the video footage, so I kind of knew sort of what to expect.
Uh-huh.
Except for the day we went to go use it, it was raining. So, yeah, all of our perfect planning kind of got a little messed up in the rain, but we were able to get some great shots in about 10 minutes before it started to pour on us.
Oh, wow.
And that's, isn't that the way it goes? Murphy's Law.
I just love that. So where can people find these pictures? Because, you know, you guys have to see these pictures.
They're on my website. They're on my blog. They're pretty much everywhere. They've been published. So,
And this is why you're an award-winning photographer. Let's talk about that for a second, because I love saying that. My award-winning photography friend.
And I get embarrassed.
Don't get embarrassed. We need to know this, because actually I think I would want to hire an award-winning photographer. You're getting to know Veronica. Get to know her a little bit more. You have some really interesting stories, something about Daryl McDaniels of Run DMC, Rosa Parks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's hear about that. We have like 10 minutes maybe.
10 minutes. Okay, yeah. My 22 years career in 10 minutes. Gotcha. Okay, so I'm trying to think of the coolest story.
And your
story.
Favorite wedding of all time.
I did that one. That was LA. See,
was LA.
I got that together.
You got that in there.
That was a cool one. All right, so I have to go over Daryl McDaniels, because a lot of times I photographed many celebrities over the years. Some were awesome, some were not so awesome. And I have to say, he's probably one of my favorite celebrities ever.
Oh, wow.
And we were photographing him and his wife for a magazine cover. And it is my 80s childhood fantasy to have met him. You have to understand, I'm an 80s girl. So, you know,
there's so many things people love about you just from this episode, all these factoids.
Oh, my gosh.
So much.
So, yeah, you know, the Adidas, the hat, like everything. And I said that morning, I am going to get a picture in that hat. So help me God, it's going to happen. I don't know how, but I'm going to get it. I knew he was going to show up in the hat, right?
Uh-huh.
So he did. And he was darling. Oh. He was funny and articulate and full of personality and just a pleasure to talk to. So in between some shooting, he and I think my second shooter and I think maybe the videographer, just sitting in a room talking. And I had just seen a special, I think it was on MTV that week, about how Walk This Way came about with Aerosmith.
Oh, okay.
And so I said, Daryl, I said, you know, I was watching this special. I go, what went down with that? And I just turned my video recorder on my phone.
Uh-huh.
And we were just, having a conversation, he and I. And he was telling me how that never was supposed to happen, how they never wanted to work together.
Wow.
How things got released without him knowing. Like, he gave me this whole story. He was just wrapping it out, like, right there. I mean, could you imagine, like, the 11-year-old me was screaming inside?
I love it.
And he's just talking right off the cuff, telling me how this all came about. And I was, like, in awe.
Wow.
And so it was a great, just impromptu interview that I was able to record. I think it's up on my YouTube channel too. I love watching it because it's really just
I'm going to check it out.
History of music, if you love music. And I did get a picture with the hat,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, yes.
So he and I'm wearing the hat. My dreams were definitely came true that day.
I love it.
It was fabulous.
Now you have a photo of Rosa Parks.
I do. So that is probably my most cherished image I've ever taken in my life.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where was that taken?
So I was a history minor in college, and I was obsessed with the 1960s and the civil rights movement. So I was taking all kinds of classes on Martin Luther King and civil rights and what was happening during that time. And we're talking, this is the fall of 1995, so I'm aging myself, do the math, people. And it's funny because my professors, they were at the DNC, I think that was 1969, where they were getting handcuffed and sprayed with pepper spray and all kinds of protesting. So they totally got like that era because they lived it firsthand. And they were organizing the Million Man March on Washington. And my first 10 years of my career, I spent as a photojournalist. So I'm trained as a storyteller, documentarian. So
that makes so much sense.
You get it now. So my adrenaline,
there's my tip, getting a photographer who knows journalism, telling stories. Yeah.
So, I decided I was going to cut school and I was going to go to the Million Man March. Now, I am not African American at all. And at the time I was blonde, not redheaded like I am now. So you can imagine how controversial that was in 1995 for me to say, I'm going to this Million Man March as a white woman, young woman. My family was terrified. Louis Farrakhan was planning it. So we really didn't know what, you know, it's supposed to be peaceful. It was supposed to be empowering, but you never know. Mm-hmm. But I had to be there because anything historical that happened, I just had to be there. And I cut class, got down there. Remember, this was film days, no digital back then. So I went there with a couple rolls of film and started documenting everything I saw. And it was a life-changing experience. Everybody was so welcoming. And the stories and how far people traveled. And I was a kid. I was 20, 21 years old. And just, it was just amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
And one of my heroes was Rosa Parks. And she was, you know, pivotal for the civil rights movement. And I've read about her in books. And now she was going to speak at the Capitol. So now think of the Capitol building. Think about what the presidential inauguration looked like. And think about what a million people might look like on that mall. I was eating lunch and they were playing it on TV. And I saw that, you know, coming up next, Rosa Parks, you know, and coming up next means like in the next 45 minutes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we quickly paid our tab and I ran from pretty much where the Lincoln Memorial was, Lincoln, all the way to the Capitol. Well, I don't know how many miles that is, but it's well over a mile. Yeah. I ran. I couldn't do it now. I'd need my inhaler and I would probably, you know, pass out. But I ran with my gear through a million people.
Oh, gosh.
To get up to the steps of the Capitol where everybody's pushed together. We can never do this in a post-9/11 world now. And she had just finished speaking, so I missed her whole speech. And they were wheeling her out on this driveway on the side of the Capitol. And I somehow shoved my way to the front. And as she was getting wheeled away in her wheelchair, I snapped two images. Because then I got shoved out of the way by a guy who was a videographer. And he was obviously much bigger than me. And I took two frames, and then she was gone. And I thought, oh my God, I missed the shot. Like, I missed it. Like, I ran all the way here. I saw her. She kind of went by me so quick. And I missed it. And I was devastated. So you can imagine.
Film. You had to wait.
I had to wait to develop it. There's no digital. Can you imagine the anxiety now? All of us instant gratification people.
Oh, my God.
So I had to drive 4 hours back to school. We went to the Moto Photo, because it was all black and white I was shooting, to the Moto Photo to drop it off to get the pictures. And then, you know, I get the film, you know, the pictures back, and I'm just going through it like a card deck, trying to get to those pictures. And there it was. Two frames, one missed, one nailed it perfectly. And I sobbed.
Oh, go look for this photo on your site.
I love it. And it just... it was everything. She's got the freedom hat on. It was everything I dreamed of. It was everything she represented. And it's my most cherished image.
This is the mark of a great photographer.
It was a little lucky, but, you know, luck plays a part.
What's the definition of luck? Opportunity and you showing up at the right time. Whatever it is, you got it.
We got it.
And if you hire Veronica, you're going to get it too. Oh, this was so fantastic. Now that I know that story, I'm going to stare at that photo in a whole different way.
That's awesome.
So you're getting your website and your Twitter and Instagram, all that?
Sure. Website, www.verolucephotography.com, V-E-R-O-L-U-C-E, photography. I'm on Twitter at @verolucephoto and on Instagram at @verolucephoto as well.
Oh, gosh. And thank you so much for Smacks Music, that song. In the middle of this episode called Value You, Smacks Music, check them out. And as usual, we're going to end with my favorite song from Joni Leeds and the Nightlights' new album. This song is Love is Love.
It doesn't matter if your house is big or small. It doesn't matter if you live in New York or Nepal. It doesn't matter if you're short or if you're tall. It shouldn't matter at all. 'Cause love makes us family. It doesn't matter if you have one mom or two. It doesn't matter if you're a Muslim or a Jew. It doesn't matter if your clothes are old or new. It shouldn't matter to you. 'Cause love makes us family. So everybody say love is love.
This show, Wedding Cake, is produced by Heritage Radio Network, a nonprofit member-supported radio station devoted to all things food. Help keep Heritage Radio Network alive by becoming a member today. go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the beating heart to donate now. Thank you so much. Please come back for more.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.